Hi, Dave.
Hi, Eric.
Hey, Dave. Do we curse on this podcast?
Yes, Eric. Yes, we do.
Are you ready, kids? Get your parents' permission, check your mailbox, and grab your shopping cart. It's time for the Adventures in Collecting podcast.
I'm Eric.
And I'm Dave.
Welcome to Adventures in collecting.
Where we talk toy news, culture, and hauls.
Along with our journeys as collectors. All right, so episode number one. Kind of cool, Dave.
Yeah.
As if you couldn't tell by our voices, Dave and I are brothers. And we have been...
And we are very sorry.
We've been collecting toys for a very long time, and we still do. So we thought that we would share our findings with you as we go through our lives as adult collectors. So to start off, let's talk about what's in the news. There was some really big news for me yesterday. I'm one of those people who is a leakaholic when it comes to things. I'm scouring the subreddits and you know the various forums out there to figure out what's coming down the pipeline, especially when it comes to Star Wars. So the first wave for Triple Force Friday was leaked thanks to an errant Yavin ceremony Luke Skywalker that's out there. So the vintage collection will feature a couple of new faces from The Rise of Skywalker, aptly titled Knight of Ren, which could not be more vintage Star Wars in terms of toy packaging. We have Zori Bliss and of course Rey, our hero, our heroine, and we have a jetpack Sith trooper. So looks very much so like the Sith trooper that's been all over the news in the red, but with a jetpack. So we have that to look forward to.
I'm very disappointed that jetpack was spoiled for me.
Oh, should I have said spoiler alert? Is that a
spoiler
thing?
Alert? Yes. There's a jetpack.
Yeah, there's
in
a jetpack.
Star Wars.
The jetpack, the jet trooper, in all fairness, was officially revealed by Disney at D23. This is just a red version of said trooper. So that's my big news. Is we have some new figures coming to the vintage collection to look forward to for Triple Force Friday, which I believe is October 6th. I'll look that up. I'll confirm that.
I was going to say, you tell me. The other news that I stumbled upon today, and by stumbled upon today, I mean that Funko has just been releasing stuff that's coming to New York Comic Con around actually that same time, because that's usually the first weekend in October. There are many Comic-Con exclusives. They've not said what's shared where yet. There is an Avengers Endgame Tony Stark. There are some classic Marvel characters. There's a new Stan Lee coming. There are some New York icons like Debbie Harry, like Jean-Michel Basquiat, like Keith Haring. There are Scott Pilgrim 5-star figures. So Scott Pilgrim versus the world. Scott Pilgrim, Ramona, and Knives are heading to the 5-star line. Bluntman and Chronic are coming. There is Sting in a Diaper from Dune. A Killer Clown from Outer Space, Marty McFly in the plutonium suit when he is Darth Vader from the planet Vulcan. There's Dr. Frank, not to be confused with TV's Frank, from 2001 A Space Odyssey. There are some deep cuts from H.R. Puffin stuff and Hanna-Barbera Wacky Races that have been announced thus far. As always with Funko, stay tuned till closer to the Comic-Con, basically the time of Comic-Con, to see where those are going to live.
It never ceases to amaze me, the stuff that Funko pulls out. Like, I would love to be in the room when they're either negotiating with, or I know they have those Facebook Live things where they kind of give you a peek behind the curtain, but I would absolutely love to see how they come up with some of these characters. It's just, it's nuts.
I mean, generally, it seems like the licensing for that is Yes.
Well, I mean, they somehow managed to get, you know, the Tony Stark, you know, rocking the gauntlet from the end of Endgame. And, you know, we can't get that in Marvel Legends. So I don't know what juju they're playing with, but.
Spoiler alert.
I think at this point, if you have not seen that movie and you're listening to this podcast, you're
either not going to see it or you don't care.
Yeah. Yeah. Accurate. So speaking of things that are going on, what's going on with us? What are some things that we're buying lately? Let's talk some hauls.
So there was a lot going on for me. I picked up there's a couple of GameStop exclusives, the WWE Elite Retro Fest. They're packaged in like the old WWE Superstars video game, the arcade cabinet.
I've seen those, yeah.
Ric Flair and Hacksaw Jim Duggan I picked up. I picked up Elite 61 Fandango, Elite 66 Nikki Cross, the 2019 Top Talent Finn Balor for this collection that I'm putting together that we'll talk about, I'm sure, like big collections.
Oh, yeah. We're not even going to go down that road right now with you. For that very, very specific niche collection you're working on.
Yeah, it might have changed. So there was also the Haunted Mansion pops started coming out. So I was able to get the Mummy, the opera singer, and Constance Hathaway.
Yeah, you had me looking for some of those in Disney Springs when I was there back in, what was that? Late August,
there was a Madame Leota glow in the dark pop park exclusive that was out. Now there's going to be a standard Madame Leota that should be hitting soon that is not glow in the dark. But basically those are on the way out if they are not out already. Got a couple office ones too. Finished up the main office collection. So found Jim and Kevin and Dwight and Pam, and also picked up Andy Bernard and Golden Face. So I got the Johnny Rico Starship Troopers. I believe it was the San Diego Comic-Con shared with GameStop exclusive. But wait, there's more. So there was the WWE Micromaniacs. It's a board game. Like I guess it's similar to HeroClix in a way, in some form or fashion. But it is like they're not very big at all.
Are they blind bagged or are they ones that you know who you're getting?
You know who you're getting. Okay. There were 10 of them for the series, and then the board game came with two as well. So that was Daniel Bryan, Braun Strowman, Ronda Rousey, John Cena, Roman Reigns, Randy Savage, Alexa Bliss, Finn Balor, and the ring also came with a Finn Balor and a Braun Strowman that were a little bit different.
Okay.
Different paint on those.
So you rounded out that set, and then you have the whole set.
Yeah, that was a pretty quick get up and go. It's series one, so who knows if there's going to be a series two or beyond, but Wicked Cool Toys put that out. And it's a neat little collection because it's just, I like how it's kind of off the wall. It's like, it's a different looking thing.
Well, at the very least, we'll have to try the game out.
Yeah.
So are we done with the toy haul?
We are done.
Okay. So my toy haul, much, 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 much simpler. Again, we'll get into kind of the facets of how Dave and I collect and, you know, the way that we go about it. But I got a new Marvel Legends yesterday, which is Spider-Man in the stealth suit from Far From Home. And, you know, lovingly known as Night Monkey, not on the card, of course, on the card. It's just the stealth suit, but
spoiler alert.
Yes. Yes. So
also, if you're listening to this podcast and have not seen Spider-Man Far From Home yet, you're either not going to, or I can't explain it.
Yeah. Newsflash too. He's also no longer in the MCU, but that's a whole other can of worms. So Dave mentioned during our little news brief the pops that are coming to New York Comic Con. So we figured it would be a great time to talk about toy conventions and cons and you know what that's like, and it's kind of top of mind for us anyway, aside from the news, because Dave and I recently went to a toy convention, I guess you could say, or a toy fair.
No, it was. Think of like a baseball card show of toys.
Toy show. That's the more appropriate word. Yeah, we went to a toy show here in New Jersey in Wayne, and it was really, really cool.
Mm-hmm. You know, you were saying, yeah, we're going to sum up that experience, and it is expensive.
Oh, I'm sorry. It wasn't in Wayne. It was in Parsippany, the big one that we went to, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All the people from Wayne and all the people of Parsippany are really upset right now.
Yes. Yes. The giant audience that we have with episode one, they're all furious. But yeah, so
those of you listening back to the old episodes are really upset right now.
Yeah, expensive. Definitely expensive. But it's one of those things where I don't know if I would really be able to go to one of those things alone. Like, so much of what I was able to accomplish there was because I was not just – we had a small group by the end. I think there was four of us. But I found that being my first ever toy show of that scale, that being there with other people, like a team, we were able to accomplish some pretty interesting things that I don't think we would have been able to otherwise.
I mean, even though we went there together, we still kind of were individual in,
yes,
kind of scale of what we were looking for.
But we were able to find vendors that were selling stuff that we both wanted, right?
So that was interesting, because we found the Marvel Legends / WWE Elite guy. And we were like, all right, so how much if we get all of these?
Yeah, so I'm late to the Marvel Legends world. I have only started collecting Marvel Legends as of this year, actually, as of 2019. Prior to that, I had literally 400 plus 3¾ Star Wars figures that I've been collecting since the 90s. I, being late to the game, there were figures that I wanted for the collection that are no longer being made. And, you know, as these things go, you never know whether they're going to produce more of them or not. So sure enough, I saw the Winter Soldier Falcon 2-pack. There was only one guy at the toy show who had had it. I had not seen it before in person, and I really wanted it. It was a little bit more than I was willing to pay, but luckily, the guy also had a bunch of WWE figures and some other Marvel Legends that I was on the fence about. So we were able to kind of make it worth his while to take some money off of everything for us. Most of the stuff was very fairly priced, though, in terms of aftermarket prices, right? Because you were picking up guys that were, they retail for 20, you were getting them for like 14, 15 bucks?
Yeah, thereabouts. And, you know, sometimes when stuff will hit clearance, it'll kind of drop based on the popularity or lack thereof, or fact that there's like 42 Seth Rollinses.
The peg warmers.
Well, it's not even that there's peg warmers. There are guys that are just always, or there are wrestling characters that are always just going to be out there because they're the most popular. So, you know, your Seth Rollinses, your Finn Balor's, your, you know, Charlotte Flair's, your Becky Lynch's, Sasha Banks's, like they are your kind of core characters, Braun Strowman, Rey Mysterio, now that he's back.
Like, every franchise has their Spider-Man and their Luke Skywalker, mm-hmm. and, you know, and Darth Vader. Those characters always get produced. They find their way into like every other line, sometimes every line. You know, it does happen. But the thing that I found that was really neat about toy shows, especially, you know, kind of in the collecting culture that exists today, you know, it was kind of nice to be in this massive gymnasium, you know, series of gymnasiums, and seeing toys on pegs, like not only the new stuff that we were looking for, but it was kind of like a walk down memory lane too. Cause as we were walking down, it was like, oh man, the Toy Biz, 90s DC figures, you know, the Toy Biz Marvel figures, like, oh, the Jack Specific bone crunching, you know, wrestlers. Like, we had those as kids.
Yeah. At these shows, there are things on display. There were the McFarlane X-Files figures that came out with the first X-Files movie. Like, there's some always some interesting stuff you can find there. You know, like, Mike was looking at G.I. Joes.
Yeah. Yeah, so we had a friend with us that was looking through bins of loose G.I. Joes, and Dave and I were standing there going, like, oh my god, like, it's the fridge G.I. Joe, and I think that was like a mail away one, right?
Yeah.
And to see some of these figures again, it was almost worth the price of admission, because it felt like we were in a toy museum at some points. And I don't know, I know you've been to a couple of these at this point. That was, you know, one of my first, you know, experiences with something that big, and it was just cool for me to see the figures that I beat the crap out of as a kid and, you know, remember so fondly.
I would say the biggest difference between a toy show like that and going to, like, say, New York Comic Con or San Diego Comic Con or Emerald City or anything like those is the majority of what you're looking at here at this toy show was generally, yes, there is some new stuff there, but it's just kind of new. It's or there's the, you know, the vintage stuff. There's a lot of loose stuff. There's a little bit of everything. Whereas at Comic-Con, there's the Wall of Pops. Like, there's, and, you know, there is some vintage stuff, but it's mostly, you know, here are your con exclusives. Here is, you know, this chase that came out 2 weeks ago. Here's, you know, current stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's been a long time since I've been to Comic-Con. You know, it, being in New Jersey, we have that very, very quick access to New York. And I know when New York Comic-Con was smaller at the Javits Center, and it was a little easier to get tickets, and, you know, we were interested, of course, of, you know, in all the panels, as well as, you know, the artist alley and the vendors and stuff. But when we were able to go to Comic-Con, you were able to park your butt in a seat and, you know, sit there and watch all of the big panels. And it's not really like that anymore. And I feel like that kind of shift in the difficulty of getting into a con like that, especially with, like, the fan verification process and everything that they have, that the toy exclusives and the stuff almost kind of sweeten the deal. It gives you more incentive to go, especially if it's something that you collect. Like, right now, but, like, the Funko Pops, they're so hot that, you know, there was a custom exclusive Funko Pop at the Parsippany toy show. Technically. I mean, it was a fucking stretch, but, like, technically, that was an exclusive.
It was Babe Ruth with a glued-on cigar.
And didn't he clip the... I bet he clipped the cigar off of, like, another pop, right? Because it didn't look like it was, like, handmade.
Who knows? It was bad.
Yes. But it was still an exclusive. Like, and the guy made what? I think he said he made 150 or something like that of them. Like, there was a decent amount, for all things considered, for a dude making them himself, printing the stickers and everything. And he pretty much sold all of them.
I mean, in theory.
That's also, you know, a good point with these conventions, right? And these cons. Are you going for the exclusive stuff, the stuff that's hard to find, because you want it for your collection, or is it an investment?
Like, you can totally get the baseball bat case or bookshelves or whatever you're going to do and open the boxes and whatnot, or you can stack them and let them take over a corner of the room. Like, that's fine.
You sound like you're speaking from experience.
Yeah, it's just easier to stack them places.
But those are kind of easy to display in the box. Like, I feel like those are actually easier to display on card than, yeah, you know, a Marvel Legend. Like,
or, you know, a Mattel Retro or something like those, yeah, where they're in the Tupperware bin right now, because unless I get cases for them, I'm not going to, like, pin them to the wall, you know? Like, that's... It's not going to happen.
We've all seen those Reddit posts with just thumbtacks. rows and rows of thumbtacks on the wall where, like, you know, people are hanging their carded figures.
Mm-hmm.
I actually found that toy show kind of overwhelming because I went in with, like, a very specific thing that I was looking for, but it was just, like, opening Pandora's box. Because I was in there and I was like, oh, man, you know, like, I had not seen this figure in person, or, you know, I didn't even know this figure existed, or look at this Build-A-Figure from, you know, back in the Toy Biz Marvel Legends era, or like this random alien that was on Jabba's sail barge that I haven't seen since I was six, you know, in KB Toys. Like, it was just like my brain was going a million miles an hour. And the next thing I know, I was like, oh, bye-bye money. There it goes.
Mm-hmm.
We had bags of toys. We did. Don't give me that look. They can't see you give me that look. So, tips. You have a local toy show in your area. What are some things to keep in mind going into it? Like, you as Dave the toy collector, what are some tips that you'd like to give people who are going to a toy show? Maybe they don't know what they're in for. What are some things that they could do to make sure that they have a successful toy run at the at their local toy fair?
I would probably say look for multiple things that you want, so that way you can try to bundle. Because it's one thing to be able to buy, like, you know, a Pop Chase for $20 or an Elite for $20. But if you get like 3-4 things, you might be able to see what they're priced at and, you know, round and things like that.
My first tip would be to canvas. So you may get super excited, and I know I did, and I pulled the trigger and it burnt me on the first purchase I made there. I saw something that I had in my head that it was rare. I was not going to find it. I found it. It was a little more than I wanted to pay for it, and I sprung and pulled the trigger. And not 10 minutes later, found it again, same condition, for about like $7-8 cheaper. And I was immediately like, ah, can't return that now. So my first tip would definitely be canvas. You know, and I have this thing too, where I guess I'm kind of afraid to show my hand that, like, it's something that I'm interested in, because I don't want to come back and have the guy, like, jack up the price on me. But, you know, just kind of like canvas. That would be my first thing. What else you got?
Don't be afraid to walk away. If somebody says, you know, something's more than you're willing to spend for it, or you don't see something else that you'd want at the table, or something is kind of not too rare, but you see it and you've not seen it retail, and it's more than you're willing to spend, if you walk away and then come back later and it's still there, you might be able to get it for a little bit less, or you might find something else that you saw and goes back to that bundle rule.
My last tidbit would be, find a friend, make a friend. And I've actually found that this works in general, like across the board with toy hunting.
Well, friends are generally a good idea.
either go like we mentioned earlier, you know, where we found a guy that had a bunch of different stuff that we both wanted, and we were able to kind of like team up to get a really good deal from him. But in general, the people that you bump into on your normal toy runs, chances are they're either looking for the same thing that you're looking for, or they're canvassing the same areas for different stuff, and they work as a second set of eyes. So in the case of the toy show, you know, I told Dave what I was looking for. He told me what he was looking for. And when we split up for a little bit to kind of go see what was out there, I was keeping a mental note of like, oh, that's the wrestling figure that Dave was looking for. You know, I'm going to make a mental note of that and go back and grab it. Or, you know, even when you see a, you know, somebody in Target or Walmart or wherever you're doing your toy runs, chances are you're going to bump into the same people. And just talk to them. That not everyone is a scalper trying to undercut you and grab the entire box of stuff. You know, make friends. I think, like you said, friends are good.
Or sometimes someone's trying to grab the entire box of stuff because, like, they've never seen it anywhere, and the whole series just comes in one box.
Yeah.
That, you know, that's okay too.
I think that's going to do it for today, Dave. I think that's going to wrap it up. In closing, toy shows are cool. It's kind of like going to a museum where you can buy some of the stuff.
Yeah, it's the whole museum's the gift shop.
Exit through the whole thing.
Exit through the front door of the PAL building.
Thank you, dear listener, for hanging out with us today. Subscribe, rate, and review us wherever you listen, and then tell your friends to do it. Thanks also to Joe Azari, the golden voice behind our intro. Our music is Game Boy Horror by the Zombie Dandies. Find more about them both in our show notes.
Follow us on social media at AIC_podcast on Instagram and Twitter. Stop by and say hi, show us your toy hauls, and share your toy stories. Maybe we'll talk about it in a future episode.
Don't try this at home. Void where prohibited and some assembly required. Each sold separately, not a flying toy. Consult a physician if your toy run exceeds more than 4 hours.